Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Maglia. Tom's a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial counseling and coaching experience and is also a Crown Ministries budgeting coach. We would love to hear from you. You can visit theeconomyofgod.com or you can call us at 800-386-3700. Tom, speaking of being a Crown Ministries budgeting coach,
yes.
We had a big change on the station this week.
What was it?
Well, Money Matters is actually not with us any longer.
Wow.
So we're so sad to see them go. And I just keep telling everybody that you are Crown Ministries. You are the Crown Ministries go-to guy of Southern California and work with Money Matters.
Yes.
So I've been redirecting calls all week long.
Wow.
Our phones are just lit up. Where's Money Matters? Where's Money Matters?
Wow.
And I'm like, Money Matters is gone.
Oh.
But tune in on Saturday. Tom and I will be talking about godly finances at 3:30 and 8:30.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting, Reba, is that I love being a Crown referral financial coach, and I get a lot of calls from people. And the subject we're covering today again on contentment is another one of the biggest problems that people have, especially from the referrals I receive from Crown. So
yeah.
Why don't we start? And could you hit us with a bunch of scripture, Reba? Start with 2 Timothy 3:16-17, but by heart.
Okay.
By yeah. heart.
I noticed that's the only scripture that is not on my talking points today.
By heart, Reba.
Okay.
You can't look.
I will know the scripture when I go to my grave, that's
oh.
for sure. Okay, well, that's good. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for training, for teaching, for correcting and rebuking in righteousness.
Amen.
So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Right, Reba.
I think I say those four things in different order.
Oh, that's
every
okay.
week.
Okay. You do it beautifully. And you do it great. And
thanks.
The bottom line on that scripture is that all scripture is God-breathed.
Mm.
Now, what happens if you're out driving around today on a Saturday afternoon and you're thinking, no, it's not all God-breathed? Well, yes, it is.
Problem.
2 Timothy 3:16-17 says all scripture is God-breathed.
Mm.
Now, since we know that,
mm-hmm.
then we've got to start listening to all scripture. So let's examine the scripture. And today we're on program number 8, Anchor 4 from the book Knowing the Economy of God. And, of course, anchor 4 is contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Just remind everybody, Reba, the four anchors.
The four anchors. The first anchor is that God is the owner of everything.
Amen.
The second anchor is that we're stewards of what God has entrusted us.
Amen.
The third anchor is that we need to be cheerful givers.
Amen.
And I love this because if you do the first three, you will probably have the fourth, and that is we need to have contentment.
Amen.
Concerning our finances.
That's right. Those are the four anchors of the show, God's economy, and what the book is based on. Knowing the Economy of God, which you can find or purchase from the website, theeconomyofgod.com. Now, Reba, let's go into more verses today. We're on program number 8 of a 12-part series on contentment. So can you imagine program 8?
I know.
This will be 3/4 of the way through
yeah.
of our 12-week series on contentment.
In the perfect time of year.
This
is when everybody is thinking about everything they want for the new year.
Exactly. So Hebrews 13:5, Reba?
Do not live for money. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave or desert you.
Whoa. That's heavy.
Yeah, it is.
That's heavy.
Do not live for money.
Be content.
What?
With what you have.
Do not live for money. Wait.
Oh, that's heavy.
That goes against what most people are doing.
I know. And that's what most human beings on the planet want to do. They want to live for money. It says do
it's funny.
Not
the people,
live for money.
People who have no money, they don't really live for money.
Right.
But people who have a little bit start to live for it.
Yep.
Once you have even just a little bit of it.
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that. Wait till you see the next verse.
Okay.
Reba, Luke 3:14.
Here we go. Some soldiers asked him, what about us? What must we do? Jesus said to them, no imitation, no extortion. Be content with your pay.
Right. Jesus.
Extortion. There we go.
Yeah, no extortion, no intimidation.
Wow.
What the soldiers were doing, Reba, in those days, they were shaking down people for money. Shaking down.
That sounds so shady.
It is. It made Jesus upset.
Oh, man.
What it meant was mm-hmm. when you shake someone down, you have the power to get money from them, extort money
mm-hmm.
for no reason. They're under the threat.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the old days, the mafia would say, hey, you give us money, storekeeper, we'll protect you from the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
They were the bad guys.
I feel that way this time of year where my gas bill is concerned.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a shakedown.
Well, I feel that way with the Edison bill in the summer.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a shakedown.
It feels like they just charge you whatever they want and you have to pay it.
Well, there's not a lot of options.
No.
But Jesus was mad. He was like, hey, look, don't intimidate people, the citizens. Don't extort money out of them and hold your sword over their head or mess up their tables, their shop. Mm-hmm. He said these words, Reba, in Luke 3:14, be content with your pay. Be content with your pay. In other words, don't try to get extra money on the job besides your employment money by shaking down ordinary citizens.
Let me tell you something.
Interesting.
That is so interesting. Someone here at the studio was just telling me that her rent is increasing by some exorbitant amount.
Yep.
It's a shakedown. She told me that.
Yep.
She's like, they're increasing it, and it's basically they weren't happy with their pay.
Right.
And now she's got to move out of her apartment because she can't afford it.
And the fact that they can do something doesn't mean it's right.
Doesn't mean you should.
That's right. And that's what Jesus was telling the soldiers. But the fact that the soldiers asked him that question, what about us? What must we do? That means they were interested. That means they were hungry. Mm-hmm. That means they were seeking. That means that they were a different kind of soldier. They wanted to know what they needed to do to live the right kind of life according to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Reba, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever remembered in your life reading Luke 3:14?
No, I haven't. I remember when the rich man said, what must I do? And he said, sell all your things and give to the poor. When I first started reading this, that's what I thought I was reading. Then I was like, wait a minute.
No.
Nope. Just a different scripture.
That's right. Jesus is saying, be content with your pay.
Wow.
So there's more verses on contentment. See, every single program we do, Reba, on this subject for 8 straight weeks, we keep adding more verses on contentment because we're trying to teach the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let me read Philippians 4:11-13. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:11-13. And Reba, that is the passage we added in week number 7, program 7 last week, where you read Philippians 4:11-13.
Mm-hmm.
And last week's point was we were talking about the fact that Paul had to learn contentment. It just doesn't hit you like a magical thing all of a sudden.
Right.
You have to learn.
You're not just going to get your paycheck and be content.
That's right. You have to learn.
Not in Southern California.
No way. Not in America.
Right.
Not in America.
That's right.
But contentment is a global thing for Christians, a global concept, a global anchor for all Christians.
I just read an article on MSN the other day, and it said content with $15,000 a year, struggling on $150,000.
Wow.
They had a lady who had gone back to college and was perfectly content on $15,000 a year, and they had a couple who was struggling on $150,000 a year.
Right. Oh, it's so obvious because, as we'll see in a verse in Ecclesiastes later in the second half of this program, having money isn't enough. It's not enough. No matter what you have, certain people never have enough and never will because they can't find and will not find contentment. They refuse it. And I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ, those that call Jesus Christ, Reba, Lord and Savior.
Wow.
And that's a concern here because when we're not content, we get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We say to God, you're not enough. I have other gods away from you, before you, and besides you, which blows up Exodus 20, verse 3.
I love that scripture that you just gave, how he said he knows how to be content with a little, and he knows how to be content with a lot.
Right.
Sometimes it makes me think he purposely has little and then purposes to have more.
Mm.
You know, so if I think of it that way in my mind, I say, wow, when's the last time I purposed to have less?
Well, since
God, never do that. People
never do that. No, because God's so smart. He knows that, right?
Yeah, I think that King James said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase.
That's right.
But it's like, is he abasing himself? Has he ever just decided to have less?
No. No, but God made him have less. Because God was so smart.
Yeah.
Is so smart. He knows we're not going to want less. That's like me saying, Reba, I want the flu today so I can learn how to be content when I'm ill. I would never ask God for the flu.
But sometimes you can say, hey, you know what? This weekend, we're going to have a low-key entertainment weekend.
Yes.
We're going to abase our entertainment this weekend.
That's right. And that's a good point.
Let's talk more about that when we come back. We'll be back in just a minute, knowing the economy of God.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Maglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will present The Economy of God, four anchor principles for life, as well as coach you on how to create a budget and spending plan. The day will include a special luncheon, fashion show, free raffle drawing prizes, and a wonderful gift package for all who attend. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700. Ladies, space is limited, so register now online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up, get more information, details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Maglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God. We are having a good time in contentment, which, yes, you actually can have. We're in show number 8 on a 12-part series.
Right.
And we are talking about contentment, the fourth anchor in your finances. And we were just talking about when Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase.
Right, but he had to learn it. And the key here, the economic principle here, Reba, is Paul had to learn contentment, and it's a learned response. He had to build spiritual muscles. Muscles of contentment. And to build spiritual muscles, just like going to the gym, you don't do it in one visit to the gym. God knew that.
Uh-huh.
And God was teaching Paul contentment so that he would hand that down to you and I thousands of years later.
Mm.
And here's a point, Reba. We have to be thirsty and hungry for the concept of contentment, or we're never going to learn it. The bad circumstances that we sometimes face, Reba,
mm-hmm.
they're going to drive us either to God or away from God. We're going to either get mad at God and say, I'm done. See ya, God. Or I'm going to go towards God and say, Lord, I know you're teaching me something through this terrible circumstance mm-hmm. or this bad circumstance or something that is bothering me. I need to grow. I want mm-hmm. to grow in you because I love you. And it's our choice, Reba. It's our choice to want to learn contentment or not. We've got to be hungry to seek after God. And the lesson, Reba, he has for us, the lesson that will drive us toward the concept of learning and mm-hmm. becoming content. Now, in application, I want to share something with you and see what you think.
Okay.
The
first thirst.
Too bad I can't talk, Reba. The thirst for what we don't have,
uh-huh.
yet want, can ruin us. Let me say it again.
Ooh.
The thirst for what we don't have, yet want, can ruin us.
You know, that reminds me, I heard it said once, that most of our pain comes from expectations not met.
Right.
Which is basically that. Something we wanted that we didn't get.
Right.
Or in this case, chasing after something that we want.
Okay. And let me just throw a thought to you, Reba.
Uh-huh.
All right. Here we go. Let's say a girl wants to get married
mm-hmm.
and have a family.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful goal, biblical.
Sure.
Let's say she can't, never does, just didn't happen. How do you be content when you really had a genuine desire to love someone, to have a family,
mm-hmm.
you love children, you want to get married, you don't want to be single anymore. You know, that was your hope. And let's say it doesn't happen. That's a tough thing to say, hey, God, that was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we all have this plan A in our minds. And Plan A comes and goes really fast.
What's plan A?
Exactly. Plan A, we want to have the family or the kids or the career or
position.
The position we have all. Sometimes plan A is just getting out of whatever you're in right now. Mm. This is what I was born into. Plan A, get out as fast as I
right.
can. So it's like, but those plans, they usually, life isn't just about plan A.
Right.
Life is about moving to plan B, plan C. It's a growing, changing thing.
But to do that, you have to learn the contentment concept.
Yeah.
If you don't learn the secret of contentment, which Paul talks about, I have learned the secret of contentment. Check your Bible. Every single Bible I've ever come across in 28 years of being a Christian, the word secret is used. The secret.
Wow.
Well, why is it a secret? Well, next week we're going to talk about what the secret is.
Mm.
But this week we're still talking about learning contentment.
Okay.
And Reba, contentment may mean that I never have to say this quote, if only this or that would happen, I would be truly happy. I would be really happy.
Ouch.
I.e. I.e.
Guilty.
Okay. I.e. getting a home because you rent.
Uh-huh.
More money. Uh-huh. Lots of stocks and bonds. Marital status, getting married because you're single, or trying to get divorced because you're married and don't want to be married anymore. You want to become single. Some people are married and they want to be single.
They want to be single bad.
They want to go out and play again.
Ooh.
Job title, job position, estate, new car. See, contentment means, Reba, that you never have to say, if only this or that would happen, I would be really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm. I do. And, you know, I think we're all guilty of that. I don't know if that came from the fall, the discontentment, the wanting. I don't know if it comes from the world, the pressure. But I think like you're saying, I think we've learned how to be discontent. And I think it goes against, what we know is normal to try to find contentment.
Right.
And so it is something that we have to practice and reteach ourselves. And like anything you're learning, you know, if you're learning Spanish, you put up habla on, you know, inglés or whatever you put post-it notes to remind yourself of this new thing.
But see, Reba, that's why we're in the world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to be in the world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
To be in the world, but not of it, we must learn this key anchor for contentment.
Mm.
Paul learned to be content, Reba, whatever the circumstances. That's tough to do.
It is.
Ask anyone in private, having a cup of coffee, away from all the nice, you know, glamorous stuff, what's really going on in their soul and their heart. And then ask them, are you content?
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they may squirm. You may squirm.
Mm-hmm.
I may squirm.
Mm-hmm.
We all may squirm. I squirm for ice cream. Well, never mind. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. Contentment means a personality of quiet obedience, Reba.
Mm.
Listen to me now. It means a personality of quiet obedience. That's contentment. That's what it feels like.
And not oblivion.
No.
Because I know some people that are so, they're not, what is it when you're the opposite of content? When you're apathetic?
Discontent.
What is it? Okay. What is it? Not discontent. What is it when you're that's what it is. When you just
apathetic.
Yeah. Apathetic.
Yeah.
They just don't care.
They just don't care at all.
It's not that they're content.
Well,
they don't care to try and they just blame it on anybody else.
That's bad news because Jesus said, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
Whoa.
He spits out the lukewarm out of his mouth.
Whoa.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Not an option. And quiet obedience means waiting on God, Reba. It means trusting and obeying him without complaining, without murmuring, without criticizing God, cursing God, without a bad attitude.
Mm.
See, that's what contentment feels like and what it's defined as. A loving, quiet obedience, waiting on God, serving him with whatever he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we all there at any one time? No. At 4 o'clock, Reba, I could be discontent.
And then you got to find it again. You got to find that contentment again.
At 2:30, I may be content, discontent.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's a learning thing. We got to work at it.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me, now we both have 11-year-olds.
Yeah, mine's too smart.
Mine gets a little sassy sometimes.
And mine's too smart.
I tell you, Tom, she'll do anything I ask her to do. But if she lets out that,
I know.
I just want to paint her head off.
Yeah, well, that's the sarcasm, you know.
Yeah, I'm just like, and that's the murmuring. When you were talking about murmuring or, you know, contentment is have, it's a heart thing and it's about being a quiet disobedience.
Right.
I mean, obedience. I just thought, gosh, you know, that's how God must feel when I'm murmuring.
Right.
When I'm complaining. He must feel like I feel when my preteen is doing the same thing.
Yep.
You know, it's like I'm buying her all this stuff and she's going on these retreats and she's doing this band and da, 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 da. And then she's upset. She has to make her bed. I'm like, that's such a small thing with all you get.
Well, see, and God, and that's a bad attitude. But see, she's 11. I'm 50. God may say to me, Meglia, take another lap around the track. Okay. Why, coach? Because you didn't do the push-ups the way I asked you to. You got a bad attitude, Thomas. Take another lap.
That's right. Their frontal lobes aren't working at 11. Ours are.
I know.
We don't have an excuse.
I know. Reba, check this out. Ecclesiastes 2, 8 through 11, Solomon was talking about how he had everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says at the end of the verse in Ecclesiastes 2, 8 through 11, he says at the end of that verse 11, there's no profit under the sun. I had it all. I gave myself everything, all the women, the money, the parks, land, gold, blah, blah, blah. Then at the end, he says, it's all vanity. There's no profit under the sun. See, he tried to make himself happy with all that stuff, and it couldn't do what it couldn't do. So he got depressed. Solomon was depressed.
And he had everything.
He had it all.
Everything and the wisdom.
Yeah, and he said, even in the chapter, he said, I held nothing back from myself, Reba. I held no good thing from myself. Then he says, it's all vanity. No profit under the sun. Okay, let's pray. Prayer of change, Reba. Here we go. Lord, thank you for this day. Father, teach us something that's hard for us to learn, contentment, anchor for in your economy. Help us to be content because you, Jesus, are enough. You're all we need. No other gods before us, Lord, just you, through Jesus Christ. Change us, Lord. You have the power. We seek it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God changes us. And if you prayed that prayer and want godly contentment in your life concerning your finances, then you need to call Tom. Tom is a financial planner that can help you sort things out and get you back on God's path. The number is 800-386-3700, 800-386-3700. First appointment is at no charge. It's free, so there's no reason to not call him right away. 800-386-3700. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Meglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will present The Economy of God, four anchor principles for life, as well as coach you on how to create a budget and spending plan. The day will include a special luncheon, fashion show, free raffle drawing prizes, and a wonderful gift package for all who attend. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700. Ladies, space is limited, so register now online at theeconomyofgod.com. Sign up, get more information, details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.